Can you see the exhibit?
Pretty good.
Is it blocking?
Please proceed.
Good morning. I am Crystal Rutherford for the appellant, Steve Jules, who is here with us today. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time, please. Thank you. This is a case in which a public government agency who, after acting contrary to all standards, created an effectively invisible dangerous condition and is trying to hide behind the recreational land use statute to avoid liability for the injury that they caused.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Of course.
First, the dangerous condition, is it the water diverter or the cut in the curb or the combination of those or a choice I haven't offered you?
It is a combination of all of them, and I use the City of Bellingham's own statement of calling it a speed bump extension as well. It is a combination of a series of things, as we have a relatively smallish object that is sandwiched between two taller objects, the non-standard and actually prohibited now speed bump, a curb, then a cut in the curb, shade on a curb, a whole series of things that conspired for the recreational user, which is a cyclist traveling at speed, to not see that.
Okay, when you say at speed, at the speed bump is intended to restrict speed to, or
yeah,
something different?
Yeah, Mr. Jules has testified via his declaration he was traveling about 10 miles an hour, which is hardly speeding.
And should the city have known that people would try to drive around the speed bump rather than going over it?
Absolutely. For bicyclists, absolutely.
Why is that?
First of all, their own ordinance requires that cyclists travel as far to the right as possible, and that is exactly where this is. Speed bumps are also very hazardous to bikes. They are, even though they're used to calm, this, the city has claimed it used it to calm cycling traffic, it is contrary to state and federal standards, and which were adopted affirmatively by ordinance by the City of Bellingham. The engineer Edwards talks about how dangerous and how they doesn't matter how slow or fast a cyclist goes, they are a hazard to cyclists, and actually they're a hazard also to cars. They can break axles. It could be a major issue.
Could you address what evidence there is in the record that the city knew that this particular combination of circumstances was, in fact, dangerous?
Any hazard that is put in a road and is unmarked is inherently a hazard. It's dangerous. The Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices says you shall mark them. This was not marked. It was not painted. It was hidden away, and it was affirmatively created by the city. And to say, well, oops, gosh, we didn't know that was dangerous, even though it's a hazard in a roadway, in a place where bicyclists are expected and actually mandated to travel in, would literally eviscerate the exception to the recreational land use statute. It would make it meaningless.
If the water diverter had been painted the same color as the speed bump, would the condition still have been a known dangerous condition?
If it had been painted, it would have been visible.
Okay, that's not my question, because
mm-hmm.
that goes to latency, not
mm-hmm.
dangerousness.
That's true.
Since it's a combination of things, including the fact that there's a curb cut, it's in the shade, and so forth, would the painting of the water diverter the same color as the speed bump, in your view, have rendered the condition no longer a dangerous condition?
I don't think it would have been dangerous any longer because it would have been painted warning yellow. And under the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, it says that for a traffic control device to be effective, it has to command attention, which the warning yellow paint would have done. It would have conveyed a clear, simple meaning, which the warning yellow would have done. It would have commanded the respect of the road users, and it would give adequate time for proper response. If it had been painted the warning yellow, like the rest of the speed bump had been, then yes, I think then Mr. Jules could have avoided it. He would have known it was there. He would have done whatever he needed to do to get around it.
What case, there's been a lot of cases under this statute. What case do you think yours is most like in terms of how to decide whether something is a known danger, known to the city?
I think the case of the Chen versus the City of Seattle notes that whether a dangerous condition on a roadway exists is that does not begin and end with consideration of only the physical characteristics of the roadway at issue, but also material to determinations whether the city exercised reasonable care under the circumstances for its intended use. This is a roadway. Bicycles in Bellingham have to travel on the roadway by ordinance. They are required to travel as far to the right as possible by state and city ordinance. It was absolutely foreseeable that a cyclist would go there. They had to have known when they did this. They must have known. I mean, they have standards for this. They build roads. I mean.
So the essence of your argument is that the city knew it because the city built it. I mean, the city did it. They basically had a speed bump that they painted, but inexplicably did not paint the two extreme ends of it.
They didn't. There was a gap on the other end. And you could see that in the photographs that were provided in the record.
Okay, tell me about that. Now, you've got this picture up here, mm-hmm. whatever this is. And then I'm wondering.
This is a Google map of the city of Bellingham that was provided in the court record. We have a city streets here that have speed humps, which are according to standard. This is a later picture. But you can still see that the entrance into the park still has the speed bumps that were at issue, which were not standard, which were disfavored under the 2003 manual.
Is there any picture in the record that gives any approximation of what this thing looked like?
Yes, there is, Your Honor. It's there are in the actually the materials provided in the city's briefing. There's some very good photographs with measuring tape, and you can see that it's about a foot long. The gap and about 2 inches, just under 2 inches high.
Okay.
Is the issue there.
Okay. So you have your rebuttal. Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. Shane Brady on behalf of the City of Bellingham. And just to answer your question, Judge Becker, it's clerk's papers 22 to 25. And 94 to 105, both parties submitted pictures of the condition.
Council, I just want to be sure. The speed bump we're talking about is for auto traffic, or is it something else?
The speed bumps that we're talking about would be for, I guess, any traffic entering the park. And I have a slight disagreement of the way this is being characterized as a road. So I just wanted to start off by saying that this is a straightforward issue in this case, and that the issue is, what is the duty? What is the duty on the city in this case? And
well, it's not a negligence case. It's an immunity case.
So, well, that's the first question, is it happened in a park. So the
trial court only decided that the city was immune, so it never addressed any duty or breach of duty issues. Is that correct?
Well, but that's because the duty is set from the recreational use statute. Once you determine it happened in a park and that statute applies, that means that Mr. Jules is a recreational user, and that is the duty owed to the user. So at that point, the plaintiff has to overcome the immunity, and that's the point where this case got dismissed, because he couldn't overcome the immunity once he was deemed a recreational user.
Well, I mean, that's not the fact that he's a recreational user, then the city is immune if the four elements are met.
I agree.
All right, so that doesn't have anything to do with duty.
Okay.
Confuses the issue if you talk about duty, because negligence and duty are a totally different set of
I agree with
inquiries
that,
than immunity. I mean, and when you hold that the city is immune, it means the city cannot be sued, no matter how reckless its behavior may have seemed to be. That's what it means.
I should have said it that way, Your Honor. That's a better way to say it. That's a better way to say it. So that's the question: is did Mr. Jules overcome the city's recreational immunity in this case? And the answer is that he didn't. And
was there a question of fact about whether this was dangerous or not?
Well, I think he has to overcome.
I mean, this is summary judgment. This isn't
right
after trial. Did he present enough evidence to create an issue of fact that this condition was known to be dangerous?
No, Your Honor. He has to overcome all of them: known, artificial, latent, and dangerous. He has to overcome all of those to get over the immunity, and he didn't overcome.
He presented evidence of shade, which would seem under the case law to address latent.
Well, I would disagree. There's nothing in the record that says it was shaded, Your Honor, that there was a tree shading this.
Well, could you address what evidence there is in the, or why there is no evidence in the record that raises an issue of fact as to why this condition was known to be dangerous?
There isn't any evidence that it was known to be dangerous, and that's why I said the, if I'm saying these names right.
I understand the plaintiff's argument. You, the city, built something. You knew it was not painted bright like the other obstruction in the roadway, and that because of that, you knew it would be difficult to see for someone traveling at some speed up to 10 miles an hour down the highway, and that you knew it would be dangerous because of that.
There's no evidence that the city knew that this would be dangerous, Your Honor.
It's not
a highway.
In your brief, you say there's no evidence of actual knowledge because there have never been any complaints.
Right.
Is that your argument?
Yes.
That can't really be your argument, can it? Because it suggests that you're saying that until there's a complaint, the city doesn't know anything about danger. It's like you get one free, get to derail one bicyclist without any accountability, and then after that.
What I'm saying is the case law under the recreation immunity statutes require actual knowledge that something's dangerous.
And it would seem to me that if somebody builds, puts a speed bump across a road and paints part of it but doesn't paint the ends, then they know they put that speed bump in, and they know that they only painted part of it. Okay? And so then why isn't there a question of fact for a jury as to whether failing to paint the end it creates a danger?
Well, I would argue
the
that
danger that somebody won't see it. I mean, if you weren't concerned that somebody wasn't going to see it, why even paint the speed bump?
Well, I would argue that it's not a dangerous condition. It's a 1 to 2 inch bump in the road, for starters. So I don't think it's just a knee-jerk reaction that, we better paint this, is going to be a hazard.
Well, knee-jerk isn't what we're looking for here. Well, we're talking about a jury question.
Well, what I'm saying is the case law requires actual knowledge. In the Neroth case and the Ertl case specifically said the defendants in those cases put forward evidence that there were no complaints, the city, there was no internal discussion in the city that anybody would think that this would be a dangerous condition, and it went unrefuted by the plaintiff, and that was enough to dismiss the case on summary judgment. And that's the case we have here.
Does the city fit under the statute? They put an obstruction in the roadway, and then they come in and say, well, nobody ever complained about it, and we never gave any thought to whether it was dangerous or not, so we certainly didn't know it was dangerous. Is that enough?
Well, I believe so, Your Honor. This is a 1 to 2 inch bump in the road that gets to the other question of latency that is there to be seen. The city wouldn't, I don't think a city necessarily would think that this would have been a dangerous condition for somebody if they were using it appropriately.
Do you think 12 people might disagree with that who aren't city
employees? I think a reasonable juror wouldn't disagree with that because it's an obvious condition. It's not latent. As Judge Snyder said, and the case law says, if it's there to be seen, it's not latent. So
did Judge Snyder decide this on the basis of latency or on the basis of dangerousness?
Judge Snyder decided this on the basis of latency and the lack of actual knowledge.
Lack of actual knowledge of
that it was dangerous. And that's what the case law requires. In the Morgan case specifically says the statute, this is their words, and is emasculated unless the court finds there's actual knowledge. Because if you don't find actual knowledge, you're just reverting back to the invitee licensee status, which is not what the recreational statute intended.
For a child walks down a ramp into a body of water or something, and then unbeknownst to the person who sees you, it
Colty
falls, it just breaks off.
It was
a deep cliff.
It's the Colty case, and it wasn't a ramp, Your Honor. It was a road, and it was the sides of the road were obscured by water, and so the child, you couldn't see the end of the road. And
was
so
the city liable in that case?
I believe it went to trial.
Yes.
Yes. But that's my point, Your Honor, is that the latency case law, there's three cases that have found a condition to be latent, and they all involve something that's hidden or submerged.
The parties didn't dispute the dangerousness there. What they disputed was the latency, and that was the issue before the appellate court, wasn't it?
In Colty?
Yes.
I think there was more than one of the elements at stake or at issue. One of them was, but that was one of them.
I mean, our appellate court seemed to be pretty free in finding that it isn't latent if it's covered with water.
Well, there's only two cases, Ravenscroft and Colty, and the other case, in the other cases, the Tabak case, if I'm saying that right, where there was faulty screws in the dock that went into a water. So it's a bit, that's the test for latency. If you can't see it, it's latent. If you can take visual reference of it, like in Tennyson, Swinehart, if it's there to be seen, it's not latent.
Well, why did the city paint the remainder of the speed bump bright yellow if it wasn't concerned about people being able to see it? If it was there to be seen, why not just have it there, you know?
You mean why didn't they paint the water diverter?
No,
Well, there's a speed bump across the road, as I understand it.
The intent...
And it's painted yellow, as I understand it. Am I wrong?
You're right.
Okay. Why paint it yellow?
Probably so people could see where the bumps in the road, where
they're
supposed to be...
Why would they want people to see the bump in the road?
So they would slow down.
Okay. So if and that's because they felt it would be safer if they slowed down.
Correct.
Okay. So then so there's a portion of it that isn't painted yellow. Does that mean that the city thinks it would be okay for a person to go over that without seeing it?
Well, I think the intent...
It isn't important for them to be able to see the end?
Well, you can see the end.
Without the paint on it?
Yes. It's a...
You can. Okay. So you say you can. Well, that would indicate then that you didn't need to paint the rest of the speed bump either.
Well, I mean... Perhaps. I mean, if your question is, can you see a speed bump without it being painted? Yes. But the intent is to have people travel in the road, in this access road, that accesses the parking lot, to go over the speed bump, not to bypass a traffic calming measure when there's a crosswalk right in front of it.
What about the plaintiff's argument that the bicyclist is supposed to ride on the extreme right side?
That statute applies to roadways. This is not a dedicated public street. And the city has there's a declaration from the city engineer saying that this is not a city street. It's not a dedicated right of way. It's part of the park. There's a locking gate at the front of the park. There's two pillars when you enter that say Cornwall Park. You can't just close a city street with a locking gate, Your Honor. So this is clearly not a city street. So those standards, the MUTCD.
So bicyclists riding on the left side of this lane of travel wouldn't be getting in any trouble with city officials.
Correct. So the MUTCD doesn't really have any application to this case at all. This is strictly a recreational immunity case because it happened in a park. And I would ask the court to look at the latency, the actual knowledge, and the dangerousness. And I think once you do that, you will uphold the trial court. And I would ask you to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
3 minutes, is that right?
Yes, I'll be as briefly as I can. The manual of the Uniform Traffic Control Devices absolutely does apply to parks. It applies to parks with roadways. It would be irrational to say all of a sudden, hey, we can have blue yield signs, we could have green stop signs, we can mark it any way we want to. The manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices applies nationally.
Is there some place in the manual where it says it applies to parks or some case that says it applies to parks?
There are two federal cases that say it applies to parks. It is in my materials. It is a case one case was out of the District of D.C. and the other one was in the Ninth Circuit in Idaho. Additionally,
cases, were those roads dedicated as roads or were they part of a park system with discrete boundaries?
They were within the parks.
Okay, well, for example, in Seattle, you can drive through the Arboretum on a city street. So the fact that it's contained within the park doesn't necessarily tell you the answer to the question. That's why I framed mine the way I did.
Okay. I would refer you to a case called Ruff versus King County. That case held that a governmental entity can be held liable for not complying to the minimum standards in the MUTDC. And a government agency is still required to act reasonably under all circumstances.
Could I just ask you this? I don't fully understand why you need the MUTCD in your case. I mean, I guess you're bringing it in as relevant to the question of whether this condition was dangerous?
Yes, because the MUTDC, which has been adopted also by the state of Washington and by the city of Bellingham, holds that hazards on the road shall be marked. It's affirmatively.
What if you didn't have the MUTCD? Would you still be able to argue that the condition was dangerous?
Well, you still have the Washington MUTDC. See, and the city of Bellingham adopted.
I mean, you've got it seems to me that the essence of your argument, as I understand it, is that the city created a trap for the unmarried.
Right, exactly.
By blacking out, essentially, a bump that, in all other respects, was painted so as to make it visible. Isn't that the essence of what you want to present?
Yes, but we're talking about, it goes to the issue of knowledge. Do they have knowledge? These are their own standards. They have knowledge how to build a road. They have knowledge how to apply the standards appropriately within the state of Washington. It's somewhat complicated because the state of Washington adopts the MUTDC, and then they add their own stuff to it. So you have to look at both the federal and the state versions of it to understand the complete picture, which is why I included in my materials the 2003 manual.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, our last case.